Timothy could have enjoyed a much easier life. If he had stayed home at Lystra, his life would have been much more comfortable. And many of you are in the same position. You have made decisions that honor Christ and have made life more difficult.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, we may have some listening today who said, okay, I made this decision to honor Christ, Colin, and I am sold out. I'm going to do whatever he told me to do. But I thought he was going to be in that, so life was going to be easier. It's not. It got harder. What's up with that?
That's exactly right. And that is made very, very clear in the words of Jesus himself in the gospel. If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross every day, and follow me. So Jesus sets that expectation. This is not going to be easy. That if we really want to be useful to Christ, if we're really going to bring the gospel to lost people and to a lost world, that will not be and it cannot be without a cost. Take up your cross. But here's the thing. First, in taking up the cross, we become like Jesus. See, he came not to be served, but to serve. He didn't come into the world for a comfortable life. He came in order to do the will of the Father, and he did it irrespective of the cost. And of course, when we carry the cross, what's the other side of it? There's this glorious reward that lies ahead of everyone who follows Christ. Whatever it costs you to be a Christian, there will be more that comes to you from following Jesus Christ than all that it ever costs you and all that might ever come to you by way of loss for the sake of the cause of Christ. So today, I want to really encourage us with regards to what it means to follow Christ and to maximize our usefulness to the Savior in the short time that we have to live in this world.
Well, we are in Philippians chapter 2 today. If you can, join us there as we continue this message, Encouragement. Here is Pastor Colin.
I hope you have your Bible open in front of you, Philippians and chapter 2. Just these few verses from verse 19 to 22 will be our focus. Now, notice first that Timothy cares more about others than he cares about himself. Why was he so useful? Why was it that Paul didn't have anyone else quite like him? Well, he cares more about others than he cares about himself. Verse 20, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Now remember that Paul is talking here about Christians. In fact, he's talking about his own team. He's talking about who he has. And he says, Timothy is outstanding. And the striking thing about him is that he takes a genuine interest in the welfare of others. And he says here in verse 21 that this is clearly different from most people. And it's important for us to recognize what Paul is saying is that it is different from most Christians. Release from preoccupation with ourselves does not come easily, even among Christians. Now, you see, that was Paul's honest assessment and experience. It's par for the course, he says, after years in ministry, that it is in human nature and even in Christian nature that there is a looking out for our own interests, even in the church, but Timothy is different. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. The distinguishing thing about this man is that he really cares about you more than he cares about himself. It's interesting that when Paul writes his marvelous chapter on love, 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, do you remember that he puts in there the statement, love is not self-seeking? And the word that he uses there for self-seeking is exactly the same word as he uses here in verse 21, where he says everyone looks out, seeks their own interest. Everyone seeks their own interest. But love isn't like that. And Timothy isn't like that either. He cares about you more than he cares about himself. And I don't have anyone else like him. Now, it seems to me, therefore, that what Paul is saying is that if we want to be more useful to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the path to follow, and it is modeled for us in this guy who was probably just 25 years old at the time. He cared about others more than he cared about himself. Secondly, he cares about the church more than he cares about his own ministry. He cares about the church more than he cares about his own ministry. Look at verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. You're getting this pattern in the New Testament that Timothy keeps being sent all over the place? I hope to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. That's verse 19. Now, I want you to put yourself in Timothy's shoes. I've tried to do that myself this week. And here's my take on it. You stand in Timothy's shoes. You have become now, after some years, the assistant to the Apostle Paul. You've been on the road with him through many adventures for some time, moving from one place to another, and now finally you have arrived in Rome. Paul is in prison, but you are free, and you, therefore, Timothy, are the key to Paul's whole communication and ministry to the outside world. And you're in Rome. Rome. I mean, the center of the ancient world. That's not a bad position. Personal assistant to the apostle, to the Gentiles in the world's greatest city. And more than that, I've tried to imagine this. Can you imagine what it must have been like to sit beside the apostle Paul while he is receiving direct revelation from God and writing scripture? What was that like? Boy, I find myself fascinated by that. When Paul's writing Philippians under the inspiration of the Spirit, Timothy's right there beside him. When he's writing Colossians, Timothy's right there beside him. When he's writing Philemon, Timothy is right there beside him. He is at the center of the action. And now Paul says, Timothy, got another assignment. Philippi. I just tried to think how I would react to that. It is better being settled than being on the road. It is better being in a great city like Rome than a provincial place like Philippi. And it's certainly far better working alongside the Apostle Paul than being out there on your own taking responsibility for everything. So I think that Timothy had every reason for wanting to stay in Rome. Besides, if you read Acts chapter 27 and chapter 28, which tells us about the journey that they took to get to Rome, it was a nightmare. Two whole chapters. It took months for them to get this distance. I mean, we're not talking about jumping on a plane and going business class here. We're talking about weeks and weeks of travel. We're talking about in their journey to Rome, there was a shipwreck that Paul and Timothy went through. They were washed up in Malta for a winter. They went through all kinds of storms and severe weather conditions, all kinds of disasters, and they finally got this wretched journey, which nearly cost them their lives behind them. And what does Paul say to Timothy? Timothy, you know, Philippi, this is weeks and weeks and weeks of travel on his own and risking life and limb for what? To visit a provincial kind of church with a handful of people? But Timothy cared about the church more than he cared about his own ministry. And that's unusual. Paul says, I don't know of anyone else like him. By the way, there's something of this in Paul too, because put yourself in Paul's shoes. You're in prison, and you have one key friend, lieutenant there beside you, and he's the key to your communication with the outside world, but there's a need in the church at Philippi. What are you going to do? Paul says, well, I'll let him go, because the need of the church there is more important than my personal need here. He cared about others more than he cared about himself. And he cared about the church more than he cared about his own ministry. And that shaped his decisions and his thinking and his plans. Paul says, I have no one else like him. It's powerful.
All right, we've looked at two things that have made Timothy useful to Christ. We're going to look at a third in just a moment, so I hope you'll stay with us. This is Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Encouragement. It's from our series, The Apostle's Apprentice, where we're taking a look at Timothy, the apprentice of the Apostle Paul. And if you miss any broadcast in the series, you can come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org, and you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. You can also listen if you podcast the program or if you have the Open the Bible app. Those are both free, and you'll find links to the podcast and the app at the website, openthebible.org, or when you're at your favorite app store, simply look for Open the Bible. All right, let's get back to the message. We're in Philippians chapter 2 as we continue encouragement. Here is Pastor Colin.
He cared about others more than he cared about himself. And he cared about the church more than he cared about his own ministry. And that shaped his decisions and his thinking and his plans. Paul says, I have no one else like him. It's powerful. Here's the third thing. He cares about the gospel more than his own comfort. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, verse 22, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Now, when Paul uses that word served, it can literally be translated slaved. It's the word doulos that means a slave. And so Paul's statement here is very strong. Timothy has proved himself because he's slaved with me. Now, they've been here together for some years now, remember, and the evidence of this man's commitment to the gospel has been seen in the relentless work that he has done over the years. Timothy could have enjoyed a much easier life if he had stayed home at Lystra. His life would have been much more comfortable. And many of you are in the same position. You have made decisions that honor Christ and have made life more difficult. You could have made decisions that were less honoring to Christ and would have made your life easier, but that is not the path that you chose. You live with difficulty because of the choice that you have made, which honors Christ. And that was Timothy's position. And I think many of us know about this in many ways. You've been extended in your responsibilities at work or in the home during the day. And then you extend yourself further as you engage in some ministry to which God has called you in the evening. And the demands are considerable and it isn't always easy, and you come home sometimes and you flop into your bed and you say in a state of feeling some exhaustion to no one in particular, you say, there's got to be an easier way to live life than this. And you know what? There is. There is. But Timothy isn't interested in an easier way of living life. He's more interested in the advance of the gospel than he is in his own personal comfort. And with the Apostle Paul, you have a man here who lives animated by one burning question. What will it take to bring the gospel to a lost world? Paul says, I don't have anyone else like him. What will it take to bring the gospel to lost people in Arlington Heights? What will it take to spread the influence of the gospel in these northwest suburbs where God has placed us? What will it take for the gospel to extend throughout the world through the ministry of the church as Christ has called us to take the gospel to all nations? See, these are the kinds of questions that animate a team member who's really useful to Christ. And Paul says there aren't so many who live like that. But Timothy was the kind of person who was ready to say, you know, whatever this takes, I'm ready. Now, I don't know about you, but I've found that over these weeks, as I've kind of immersed myself more in the life of Timothy as we find it in the New Testament scriptures, I found myself drawn to this guy. This is the kind of person I want to be more like. I've thought about all kinds of things I want to talk to Timothy about when we finally get to heaven. I'm fascinated by this person who's early in life just given opportunity and is ready to take responsibility and then is encouraged and then has to stand firm through great difficulties and finds fruitfulness and is useful in the service of Christ. And don't you feel this is the kind of person you want to be more like? And don't you see that as we look around church world generally, there aren't so many people like him? And yet, isn't it encouraging that real usefulness to Jesus Christ doesn't depend on the height of your gifts, but on the depth of your character? And that this kind of timid, shy, and not very robust person ends up being the most useful guy the Apostle Paul has. And if we're to pursue that, here's what to cultivate. Learn to care more about others than you care about yourself. Learn to care more about the church than you do about your own ministry. Learn to care more about the gospel than we do about our own comfort. Because if God was to pour out the spirit of Timothy widely in the church, it would have a transforming effect. Now, I want to say one more thing by way of conclusion before we come to prayer together, and it's simply this, that when I began studying this chapter, and of course it's one of the most famous chapters, at least the first part is one of the most famous chapters in the Bible, but the thing that really struck me focusing on these later verses is that this really is a very strange chapter in the Bible indeed. Because it begins with the ascription of praise to Christ that we all read together from verse 5 through verse 11. And it's all about the eternal nature of God, the incarnation in which God becomes man, the atonement, which is the effect of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the glorious and triumphant resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ to be seated at the right hand of the Father in glory. And you have these six verses that deal with these magnificent themes. Then you move on in the same chapter, and what do you get? A bunch of stuff about travel arrangements for a young guy called Timothy going to an obscure place called Philippi. And then if you read forward to the end of the chapter, it goes on in great detail about a guy called Epaphroditus who apparently got sick and nearly died. Now, here's the question. How does all this hold together? See, 2,000 years later, I can easily see why the Holy Spirit has preserved the first part of Philippians chapter 2 for us so that we can come together in worship and give ascription of praise to the glory of Jesus Christ. But why in all the world have we got these verses about a 25-year-old's travel plans to go to an obscure place called Philippi? Here's how it ties surely together. Timothy cared about others more than he cared about himself. Where did he get that from? Look back at chapter 2 and verse 4. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. And Timothy cares for the church more than he cares about his own ministry. He serves, becomes a slave with the Apostle Paul. Where did he get that from? Verse 7, Christ made himself nothing, taking the very form of a servant. And Timothy cares more about the gospel than he cares about his own comfort. Where in all the world did he get that from? Verse 8, Christ humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And you know what? God the Father said of this Jesus, I have no one else like him. I have no one else like him. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. You see what's happened? Christ has captured Timothy's heart. And the Spirit of Jesus is conspicuously working in this man's life, producing not a perfect image, because none of us have that, even Timothy, but recognizable reflections of the character of Jesus that are flowing through his life and his ministry that cause him to be the most useful man on the apostles' team. May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. May his beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win, and may they forget the channel, seeing only him. Can you imagine the effect of the Spirit of Jesus being multiplied in a community of Timothys? Is that what you feel drawn to today? Be more like a man who became more like Jesus.
What a question to wrap up with today. And I'm guessing that we're all drawn to that, or know and wish that we would be. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and a message called Encouragement. It's part of a larger series called The Apostle's Apprentice, where we're taking a look at Timothy, the apprentice to the Apostle Paul. And if you've missed any of the broadcasts in the series, you can come and listen online at openthebible.org. You can also order a copy of the series on CD. You can do that through our website, openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We're able to be on the station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you an Advent devotional to help you prepare your heart for this Advent season. It's a 24-day devotional from Pastor Colin. And Colin, this is based on Isaiah chapter 40, right?
Yes, it's a marvelous chapter of Scripture to meditate on, especially as we're preparing ourselves for Christmas. And it's so full of good things. I mean, just verse after verse speak to us wonderfully. I mean, for example, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Now, that beautiful image of the flower and the grass fading away, it just speaks to us of the fragility of life. And we all come to places when we're feeling how fragile things are, things that we have, things that are around us, our own lives, the lives of other people we love and trust. And suddenly when you become aware of the fragility of everything in this world, you begin to say, what is there solid? What is there that I can rest on? What is there that will never move? And here Isaiah says, the word of the Lord stands forever. That builds strength into the soul. So this chapter is just full of wonderful, rich truth that will build, nourish, strengthen your soul. And it leads to this marvelous promise that's the title of the devotional. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. So if you need renewed strength, this is a wonderful chapter of Scripture for you to meditate on.
Well, we want to send you, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support and to help you prepare your heart for this Advent season, Pastor Colin's devotional book, Waiting for the Lord. You can find out more or give your gift online when you come to openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. Our website is openthebible.org, and again, the phone number, 1-877-673-6365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Do you ever feel like giving up? Timothy sure did, but he persevered, and God used him because of it. Find out the power of perseverance next time on Open the Bible.